No, no, we can help you. You have to let us try.
Uhura. I want to leave you with one last piece of advice. Open yourself. Make a home for yourself amongst others, and you will find...
Crackcast.
Good, here we go.
Crackcast.
Well, hello there. You are listening to Trekcast, the galaxy's most unpredictable Star Trek podcast. I'm Chad. That's Dan. That's Daniel. We are here every Sunday live for your viewing enjoyment, both on our internal Discord channel as well as over on YouTube. So if you're watching in either one of those places, we appreciate you being here with us on a bright Sunday. It's bright here for me, kind of. It's going to rain this afternoon. I don't know about you guys, but at least the heat wave is done while it's raining. Yeah. So the heat has come down. Happy about that.
It's bright. It's bright here. 76.
Yep.
76, mostly sunny. Yeah, I'm liking it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'd take 76 any day. When it's the temperature is just right and you walk outside and you can't tell, that's perfect. Yeah, but it has to be in the low 70s for me to do that.
Yeah, it's fairly warm over here, mid-60s, low 70s, and then it's going to be rainy.
I like how you say that's fairly warm.
It's Idaho, man.
Yeah. You're looking great, by the way. I meant to mention that last week, too. You are doing fantastic. You are still on your fasting and everything else. We haven't talked about your fasting diets in a while. Tell me how that's going.
So far, so good. I also started a class that people can take, a video class that goes through all the steps on how I lost 180 pounds.
Wow.
And you can take that class for as little as like $3. And get all the lessons. Yeah.
Huh.
So I just want to help people, man. So
for me, the easiest way to lose weight is just go broke and not have any money for food and give it to the kids. Then I'm fine.
There's that. Yeah.
I've been, I've been trying different diets and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't work for me. And about 2.5 weeks ago, I decided, there's two components to this: diet and exercise.
Yeah.
Right.
If you do one without the other, you get limited results. And, different body types, people have different levels of success for either of those. So I decided that dieting is not my thing. So, so I went back to the gym. I'm steadily going every other day. I've been doing weight training and I'm already seeing a result. I mean, the guns are coming out for the summer.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I see results everywhere except right here.
Yeah.
That's the last.
You'll get it.
That's the last.
That's what takes longest. And I know I've already burned some stuff from here, mm-hmm. but I'm also building muscle behind it. So what's there is being pushed out.
Oh. Lumberjack Daryl says that he's lost 20 pounds with the dice so far.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
What do his guns look like?
Yeah.
What guns, Daryl? That's great.
That's amazing.
It's good to hear that everyone's taking an interest in their personal health. Because I'll tell you, mm-hmm. Going back to the gym after taking, a decade off, I learned real quick that I'm 45. I'm not 35.
Uh-huh.
Because holy shit, did that first day, or the day after that first day, did I feel like I was going to die?
It's that day after. The day of, it feels great. When you first really hit the gym hard that first day, it feels wonderful. And you're like, oh, my God, how come I'm not doing this every single day? Day two is when you remember why.
that delayed onset. So, I went, felt good. The next day I felt good. The day after that, I was like,
Yep. When I was hitting the gym hard and hitting it way too hard, every other day I would have these days where I couldn't really bend my arms down because I overdid it. And so I had the dinosaur hands, and my kids would just make fun of me relentlessly. So
I was like a praying mantis.
Yeah.
Welcome to Fitness Cast.
Welcome to Fitness Cast, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Reyes is our host. He's here to tell us all about how to lose weight in 2022. Discount code is I don't give a fuck at. No, I'm
kidding. I could make that a discount code.
You could make that a discount code.
I could.
I prefer Fitness Cast to Politicast.
Oh, so. Lord.
That's true.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's true. Moving on to Star Trek.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, I got a bunch of news.
Go for it. Hit us with the news. I'll hit the soundboard. There we go.
Yeah.
Attention all hands. It's time for Star Trek news.
All right. So our first news story comes to us from TrekMovie.com. And big news. Production has officially wrapped on Strange New Worlds Season 2. Just wrapped on a couple days ago.
Wow.
So... yeah, it's kind of crazy to think. A bunch of the producers and showrunners and all that have said that season two was great. They're so excited. Can't wait for everybody to watch it. That's exciting. We don't know when season two is going to be coming out yet. You know, roughly it's about a year. So,
yeah,
there you go. That's pretty neat.
It needs to be. It needs to take Picard's slot of when it premieres February so that it runs during the normal main seasons, you know, and not in the middle of summer. That's my opinion. It needs to start in like February and run through May so you can get sweeps week and all the other traditional things in there as well. What do you think, Daniel? I mean, sorry.
You know, it's been a while since I've been in network television, so I don't know if sweeps really matter as much as they used to.
True, but I think it still matters more to the producers and the studios than it does the audience, and maybe to I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter that it's happening over the summer. But
I don't think it matters because I've never watched this show, but there's a show called Stranger Things.
Yes.
And I guess the fourth season came out recently.
Yep. The second part of it, yeah.
And one of the side effects is that nobody will shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah, yes. They tell you that before you click onto the show. It says, if you watch this, never stop talking about it.
Yeah. It's a great show. Then it's so gory this year, but it's a great show, yeah.
Yeah, when you click yes, there's another one that says, are you vegan or into CrossFit? Then you totally understand what we're talking about. Click.
Exactly.
If you only buy Oikos Greek yogurt, then click here.
Yes.
The Boys is also huge this summer, too. Yeah, I have not watched The Boys yet.
I can't wait.
I want to get through Trek, and I got to get through Stranger Things with a wife, and then I can start watching The Boys.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So this second season will be also 10 episodes, just like this one. So there you go.
Okay.
Our next news story comes to us from Screen Rant, and the headline is, wait, why is there so much Star Trek in the Elvis movie? So if you don't know, right now in the movie theaters, there's an Elvis movie.
Yeah.
I believe it's called Elvis.
Yeah.
And in it, there is a lot of Star Trek references. Granted, Star Trek and Elvis were right around the same time, but... Elvis was a giant Trekkie, allegedly.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of references to him.
Towards the end. I mean, he was huge. He was just huge.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So I guess if you watch it, there's at least three or four different quick little references to Star Trek. They don't make like a big ordeal. Like, you don't see Elvis in a Starfleet uniform. But, you know, it's in the movie. It's pretty neat. Yeah,
I do want to see that movie. That movie does look good. I'm not a huge Elvis fan. I don't know that. I know a little bit about Elvis, probably more than I should, but for not even being a fan. But my grandma and grandpa on my mom's side were huge Elvis fans, so I learned a lot from them. So I am interested in actually seeing that, though, even though I've really had little interest in Elvis for 40 years of my life. So
one of my favorite cosplays that I ever saw at a Trek event, I think I brought this up before, but there was somebody dressed as the Gorn, but they were in the like the white and gold Elvis one piece.
Yeah.
Two
flared pants and the low collar, the low the V-neck. Yeah, it was great.
Interesting.
I've seen somebody dressed like that, like in an Elvis costume, but as a Klingon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was Elvis.
Elvis in the original. Yeah, I was gonna say you beat me to it. Elvis in the original Klingon.
Yes, as it should be.
Warning! Nerd alert!
We haven't had that on the show in a while. I felt like that fit.
Yeah, it's good. And then our last news story comes to us from comicbook.com, and the headline is pretty easy: Star Trek Prodigy to release on Nickelodeon this summer. So starting Friday for the kiddies, Prodigy is going to be on Nickelodeon. So there you go.
Is that the first season, or is it just the
new
season?
Yeah, it's the first season.
Oh, okay.
The first part of the first season.
Okay.
To get the kids onto that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was.
No, it's been on Paramount Plus, but it hasn't been on Nickelodeon.
All right.
So.
And I would imagine when season two hits, whenever that does, it'll be on both.
Well, I think from my understanding, at least what they said before, is they're going to do all, because it's only like six episodes, is the first part of season one.
Is that it? That's all it's aired so far is six?
Yeah, because they split it up. So they'll air like the first six, and then like there'll be commercials like, if you want to see more, get on Paramount Plus, kiddies. Yeah.
Mom, can we have Paramount Plus?
Right. That's what they're hoping
Mom,
for.
Mom, can you buy me Orbeez?
Right. Well, you know, I'm sure kids will want to see the Paw Patrol movie or something. Whatever's on there.
Mom, give me more K7 Pop.
That's right.
K7.
Or the Jackass.
You missed that part at the beginning,
well.
Yeah. We were playing K-pop, and then someone came up with, no, it should. No, I think Daniel said it should be K7 Pop. So.
Right. Yeah, so that's all the news stories.
Awesome.
That would be a good K-pop band. You get seven Korean kids together and you call them K7.
yeah. The K7, yep. Well, how many are in the main cast here? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Damn, there's 8. Okay. Because it's Nurse Chapel, it's Uhura, it's Khan, Noonien.
Oh, I thought you meant how many are in BTS.
No, I'm talking about this. 11. I have this picture that's up here right now. Obviously Spock, Pike, Una, Mbenga, and Ortega. So that's 8, so whatever.
There's one less than last week.
I mean, why is there no Star Trek ska band?
Well, you know, maybe that's the one thing we can do in Seattle next year is we can rehearse some K-pop, and we can be the K7 pop for anybody that shows up. We'll be in cosplay and we'll just start singing some BTS songs.
Yeah. No thanks. I don't want to be on the news.
We could do choreography. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cultural appropriation.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No thanks.
This is true. All right, let's get into the topic then if we're ready. Are we ready?
All right, cool.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, let's go for it. Talking about Star Trek in this week's topic. Talking about the Star Trek in this week's topic. Huh. Okay, and before we start the topic, that little clip, anyway, that sound effect for our topic reminds me that we have talked several times about updating those. So if any of the listeners right now are good with audio production, like what we're doing here, and want to give us some new B-roll, if you would call it that. I don't know if that's what it's called. I'm pretending to be
They're
Daniel right now and using the wrong words. It's cultural appropriation of video production, guys. Anyway,
it's terms.
Yeah, the wrong terms. Yeah, anybody wants to make some audio though for us for the topic, for the intro, for the feedback, for the news section, for Nerd Alert. If you want to make new ones of those and send them in, we'll use them. And we'll just rotate them through like we did a couple of years back. So we'll do that here this summer, give you guys some time to give us some new clips to use. It'll be fun. And you can use clips from the show when we say something stupid if you want to use those too. I think that'd be hilarious. So with that said, we're talking about all things Star Trek Strange New Worlds. It is the ninth episode this last week.
One more.
Only one more, yeah. So... Man, a lot happened in this episode. And I don't even know what the title is because that window just went bye-bye and I don't want to change it because we're streaming. But anyway, a lot happened in this episode. We see the crew get broke up.
Terror on the Nostromo? Was that the title of the...
That sounds...
Right over your head.
I don't know. I had it up a second ago, and then the window, I don't know why. All the windows except for the one just disappeared.
Is that because of the way Anu... Or, what was the name of that business?
Alien.
Yeah, so, you heard me. Nostromo was the name of the ship in Alien.
Yeah. Now I see what you're saying. Sorry. Oh, okay.
I thought the episode was called For the Love of Paul Reiser.
Nerd alert. For the Love of Paul Reiser. It should have just been called Aliens. So we see the crew get broken up. There's two things. There's a lot of things going on, but the two major things going on is part of the crew has to go and deliver supplies so the base doesn't shut down. They're out of power or something. And the other part of the crew has to take shuttlecraft down to investigate a crashed ship to help rescue the crew and get them off the planet, which I found very interesting that that ship survived its crash and then also survived taking off, even though one of the nacelles was hanging on for dear life. So
it wasn't a crash. It was an emergency landing.
That's right. They did say emergency landing. Okay, well, that makes a little more sense. Still, it was still funny to watch that thing take off, and they had one to sell.
Yeah. So they made sure to say that the ship uses a lot of the same parts as a Constitution class. They could use the same sets.
Yes, exactly. I love how they work that into the show. Like, they actually work. The reason why this looks exactly like the Enterprise is because we just used parts from the Constellation. We actually said it out loud. Like,
I don't know why they did that. Why did they just say it's another Constitution class?
I don't know. Well, because
all the guys will jump on the internet and be like, they used the same set. And they put it, they put their. The ribbons over there, but it's the same thing, guys. I know.
I love that accent, that voice. That's great.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Daniel does two voices.
No. But... like, that's like maybe the second time I've ever heard him do an impression, and that was just so fucking spot on.
Actually.
Exactly. Actually, the chairs go over there, sir. You just misplaced them.
This turbo lift is clearly on the wrong side of the bridge.
Exactly. Yes.
They must have reversed the shot.
Oh Lord! But
I love that we're making fun of nerds on the internet. Well, we're nerds.
We're
on
nerds
internet.
On the internet. Yeah, we are so. Yeah.
And our main demographic is nerds on the internet. You know.
Exactly. And you know what? Our views went up by making fun of that. Just right now.
Well, thank we you, all know.
Thanks for watching.
Love you, fella. All right. Anyways.
Chad, we broke Chad. Chad's broken now.
I'm crying.
Somebody reboot Chad.
I'm crying over here.
I know.
Chad's been broken for a long time.
Oh, I have. I know. You have no idea. I've been broken a long time. Oh, Lord. Is there such thing as nerd cultural appropriation?
I mean,
we are it, so that doesn't count, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I think they explained it. It was funny when they explained that part of it, but they did say that it was a special type of ship specifically designed for speed because they were exploring outside of Federation space. So it kind of makes sense. And I get why they would want to include the statement of, it uses Constellation parts or, you know, same class of ship. So that you could use the sets. That's fine. I'm fine with all that because the sets are gorgeous. The sets are beautiful. So
it's fine. On TNG, every other Federation ship was just the back bridge of the Enterprise rear. Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All good. Well,
Star Trek has a proud history of reusing sets.
Yep.
Well, and you would think just from the standpoint of popping out ships as fast as possible that they'd be the same configuration and use a lot of the same parts. This makes sense, right? So
yeah,
absolutely.
All that's fine. So anyway, those are the two main things that are going on. But behind all of that, how the episode opens up is, again, the log, which I love. I love how these things of this show always opens up with someone else's log. But we hear about some people leaving the ship. One of those that's a huge surprise is Uhura leaving the ship. Her cadet rotation thing is over. So that's kind of interesting. If she's really going to be gone off the bridge next episode or not, I don't know, because they said it was coming up. It was in a few weeks. It wasn't necessarily like that day. So I find that interesting. But as the show starts, we find out that we're leaving or we're losing one of its stars, and one that we all know, because this is the backstory of Uhura. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to start it.
I don't think we are. I think next week we're going to be on Earth, and you know, we're going to see Nichelle Nichols as her grandma. That's my prediction. I made it a couple weeks ago,
but yeah.
I think Nichelle Nichols is going to be her grandma. And I think by the end of the episode, she's going to decide to stay on the Enterprise. Whether she's an ensign or she's still a cadet, I don't know, but that's my.
Welcome to Dan's Wrong Predictions. We already have a trailer for next week's episode and it has none of that in it. So,
well, it's just a teaser. We don't know for sure.
That's true. I know. I'm just giving him shit.
Yeah.
So. Whatever, man. You know, up until 3 days ago, we thought Hemmer was going to be in the last episode too.
Yeah. Okay. That's so that's nice another days. Thing. Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
We lose a couple of crew members. We don't lose Sam Kirk though. Sam Kirk doesn't die. Not yet.
Give him time.
So we don't know about a whole lot of what happened with the Enterprise when it goes and does its one mission with Una leading.
I have a theory about Sam Kirk.
Yeah, okay, cool. I want to hear that. So we don't know what happens with Una and the main crew when they go and do their mission. We just know that by the end of this episode, they show back up. So that's cool. The main juxtaposition of the whole entire episode, though, is the two shuttlecraft going down to the planet. I forget the name of the planet, but I know that the name of the ship that emergency landed was the Peregrine. And that's what they were investigating and trying to help the crew with. And, of course, we find out that they're all dead, every single one of them. And the whole place is infested with Gorn. And we get into what is essentially an alien movie. now, one thing I noticed right off the bat, once they landed on the planet and started walking on the planet's surface, and I noticed it last week, but I wasn't sure if I really noticed it or not, but I really noticed it this week. And here's what I noticed. They changed their suits, their uniforms, when they leave the ship. Away mission, right? All their away mission uniforms are now changed. They've clearly listened to this show, went back in post-production, and changed the placement of the lighting from being right here to highlight their freaking head where to shoot to where now there's only one right here. Did you guys notice that?
I mean, it's adorable that you're saying they listened to the show when they like recorded this over a year ago.
I know, I'm just messing. But, I know.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I think when they have it on either side is when they're wearing an EV suit.
Ah.
Yes.
So when they're helmeted.
Okay.
So
maybe that's what I'm noticing.
And then the helmet lights up their face so you can shoot right there.
Shoot here.
Yeah. If it's dark outside, what you really want is lights right in your face so you really can't see shit. So.
Yeah.
But well, you have to see these actors and actresses. You know, you have to see their faces when they're moving around. Yeah. Otherwise, it could just be anybody in those suits, and then you wouldn't have to pay them.
Again, I have volunteered to be their tactical advisor. I see stuff all the time, like when they were in the hallway with what was the alien that they couldn't understand what he was saying. I can't remember his name.
I don't know. But, he was from Halo. He was left over from the one of the Buckley.
He looks like a catfish or something. Big fat catfish with feet. And
all. Oh yeah.
He looks like he looks like one of the ground attack guys from Halo, which is also Paramount Plus. So I'm not shooting you.
I can't wait to tell you what they revealed about that on the Will Wheaton show.
I guarantee you they got that from that.
When they wanted to show him that they weren't a threat, I mean, they laid their rifles on the ground.
Pointed at him.
That's just, well, no. I mean, like, you know, that's what slings are for.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Put the rifle down and you show your hands, but you don't just like put it on the floor. That would never, ever, 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 ever happen.
No.
Did you guys think that the actor that played Buckley did a good job?
Breathing heavy? Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah. But I mean, under all that prosthetics, do you think his performance was good?
Oh yeah, sure.
You put that much prosthetics on me, I'll breathe heavy too. I think what Daniel's getting at is that there was nobody in there.
Nope, it was animatronic the entire time.
Ah,
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the weapon
he's
holding.
The other thing they revealed on the Will Wheaton show is all the Gorn, the babies, and a lot of them actually were all puppets.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They cut a scene out, though, where one of them grabs the top hat and the cane, and he goes, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello,
my yeah, yeah.
That's in the Will Wheaton show. They show behind the scenes, and of course they do that.
Of course. Oh, good, good. I mean,
yeah.
That would be wrong if
they're
they
like they're in like the work bay or whatever, like just working on the puppets, and yeah, they do that.
How could you not?
When they pop
yeah,
out,
exactly.
Yeah, how could you not? How could you not? When they pop out, this is very, I mean, alienish. But they go even a step farther, where not one pops out, but like three or four from all over the damn body. Yeah. It's just glorious beyond belief.
Yeah.
I saw where someone was saying, why did they change the Gorn so much? And so let's have a conversation about that, because I don't think it's necessarily that they've changed the Gorn so much. It's that we're actually learning some things about the Gorn, because there wasn't really that much in TOS about the Gorn, and it was dropped anywhere else other than one time in Enterprise.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, Dan, because I have answers from the Will Wheaton show, actually.
No, I would say we only saw one Gorn. On EOS. That's it. We don't know, you know, was it a male? Was it a female? We don't know.
How old was it?
We don't even know. We don't know how old it was. We don't know. We don't even know if they have male or female. They probably don't have male or female. They're probably, you know, single gender. Cause I mean, they just jizz on you. And
the actor that played Hemmer was talking about that scene, and he said he was shooting pornography.
But seriously, you know, they referred to it as eggs, but who's fertilizing eggs? So
right.
I think they are probably, they don't reproduce that way. I think we assumed from watching TOS, we assumed that they were reptiles, and they're not.
Right.
They're some space thing that's different than what's here.
They're xenomorphs.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
But they don't have eggs.
I can't wait for Picard in season 3 to make contact with the Gorn, and they become friends, and then they help each other.
No, that's not how they'll do it. That's not how they'll do it on Picard. They'll just walk onto the bridge, and there's a Gorn at the con, and they act like he's been there all along, and it's no big deal because we made peace with them 200 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
But the way they're setting up the Gorn, that's not the kind of race you can make peace with. It's a very interesting society that they're painting a picture of, right? Where there's just constant killing of one another all the time. The last time we saw them before this episode was with their ships. And when they saw that one ship was weak, they just killed it. They just shot it. And they
apparently there was a race of beings where constantly killing each other was a thing for, like, I don't know, honor and glory. Like,
but
there's no way the Federation ever became friends with them.
That race, though, is at least somewhat logical and a little bit anyway, and one you can talk to. Apparently with the Gorn, you can't even talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they
had
to set up something.
The original Klingon.
Yeah, they had to set up something different than the Klingons, I think.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
On the Will Wheaton show, like, the producers flat out said, like, yeah, did we change canon on the Gorn? Yeah, we did, but we felt like we had something good, so we wanted to do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
At least they admit it.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I like it. It's okay. I'm fine with
it. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I like it too, and, you know, we kind of joke about them changing the Gorn and basically making it alien on a Star Trek ship, but... Mm-hmm. You know what? Probably the best TNG movie was First Contact, and they did the same thing. They took the Borg and made a zombie movie, and that's why it was exciting. That's why it was successful, and, you know, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I guarantee they talked about that. I'm sure they talked about it in the writer's room.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And when they called us with their notes for us to give our thoughts. You know, yeah, do that. Do just
yeah. Do those things. How about we make it good? and all of a sudden people love Star Trek again.
Do that, but do it good.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just do it more better.
Do it more better.
Yeah.
Or somebody pitched, you know, something horrible, and they're like, "That's a great idea, but let's not do that."
Right. Yeah, they'd be like, what's his name from The Office with the glasses and the coffee cup?
Oh, yeah, Dwight.
Right. No, not Dwight. Oh, I'm thinking of,
Office Space.
Office Space, yes.
Yeah, you threw me off.
Sorry.
Okay. What's his name? Lumbar or?
Lumberg. Lamanberg.
Bill Lumberg.
I do like in one of these scenes when they're trying to figure out how to get comms up. They're trying to get the power up. They're trying to help this kid that's there who didn't tell them about
anything.
And she's scared for her life. I think there's something There's something there. There's something there more to it than that with her, I think. But
I'm sure we'll learn more in season two.
And maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But I do like the scene where Mbenga is trying to treat her. And he accidentally calls her his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice little tying in with his trauma from the last episode or two episodes ago, whatever that was. But that line was excellent. That line was very good to throw that in there.
It was like they were letting us know it's not over. We haven't forgotten about it.
Yep.
We haven't cheapened his experience. We know it's affecting him, and we want you to know that it's affecting him. So, yeah, I did appreciate that.
Now, whether they're doing that for that reason or they're doing it from the standpoint of, and I hope this is, that's great. I hope that that's one reason, but I hope the main reason that they're doing it though is because when they sit down and craft these stories, they actually have a conversation about where that character is so far in the stories they've crafted before. I hope that's the conversation. It feels like it is so far this season. It really does.
I mean, that's storytelling. That's supposed to be how it works.
No shit. Yeah. I mean, hello.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But storytelling.
Guess who?
So,
is that Joseph Campbell calling up to tell us about the Hero of a Thousand Faces? What's going on?
I got no idea who that is. Joseph Campbell, Thousand Faces. I have no clue.
Storytelling, you know everything I just said.
I have no clue.
Yeah, it's okay.
That almost deserves a nerd alert. It went over two people's head. Two thirds of the hosts don't know.
It's storytelling nerds for sure. Literature nerds for sure. Yeah.
One thing I noticed with some of the sound design that I like, you know, they try to make things sound like TOS, the computer sounds and whatnot, but they are also mixing in some of the very familiar LCARS sounds that we know from the TNG era. So like when they try and do something on the computer and it's an error or it rejects their request or whatever, that beep, 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 that like you know, like the red X in Windows comes up. That's clearly from TNG era LCARS. And it's very subtle, but it's like people who've been watching these shows for 30 something years, they know what that sound means. The character doesn't have to say, it's not accepting my command codes. You just hear that sound and you know.
Yep.
Right.
You know, I like that they're doing that. It's very subtle, but I like that they're doing that. Makes it familiar.
It does. So let's talk about Spock for a minute. Okay. So we lose a couple of members anyway, of the away team in this episode. Most of which we have no idea who they were. One had just been moved up in rank. And when he does, Spock forgets to call him by his new rank. And so, of course, that's another drinking game. And I love this line by Spock. Is the number of drinking games that humans has, you know, infinite? And they're like, yes. That's just super relatable. So I like that.
And I mean, this, for all intents and purposes, this is the Navy. That's what they do in the Navy.
We drink.
Yeah.
Duke. Yeah, Lieutenant Duke.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chaz. So when he does lose that member, we see that that affects him because he was holding on to his hands when he got drug away. And this look on Spock's face is I love it. You know, Spock has purged all emotions or whatever. I don't think he's gone through full he went through Kolinar, didn't he say? He hasn't. Okay, so he hasn't purged all emotions yet, so we can see it on his face.
That's why he has all his emotions.
And, yeah. We can see it on his face, that look of shock. And then looking down at his gloves, he's experiencing a little bit of trauma, and he's not sure how to handle it. And Nurse Chapel does maybe the right thing, or maybe not the right thing, and tries to tell him to embrace that a little bit. And he gets angry, and especially after Sam Kirk yells at his freaking face. I love that line, though, by Sam Kirk, because it sounds a little bit like Kirk and Bones. You green-blooded son of a bitch, you know? So it's a great mix of the two. And Spock gets angry. Spock gets very angry. I kind of like it. I'm fine with it. I love the scene where he decides to amp himself up to go and try to yell at the the aliens, the Gorn, to get him into their little trap. And he just screams and runs at him and starts shooting. Kind of loses his mind.
I like that, how that affects him beyond that scene. You kind of get the feeling like Vulcans have very structured minds, and it's all manufactured. It's all self-manufactured. They have this sadness, they have this anger, they have this sorrow, they have this rage, but inside their mind, I've compartmentalized this over here, I've compartmentalized this over here, I've compartmentalized this over here, and I'm existing over here. And you see something happens where he tells himself that he's allowing his the anger in his mind to enter his heart. And like he opens this door in his head. And the way I took it is like he opened this door in his head, he let these emotions in, and it's not so simple to just shut it again. And that's what he's dealing with at the end, and that's why he storms out of the funeral, because he just can't deal with what's happening.
Yep.
Right.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how it affects him going forward. And it kind of fits with established canon, because if you watch the first pilot, you know, he is a more emotional character than the second pilot and the rest of TOS. So, you know, we may see a more emotional Spock next season. Season two, and it's a journey for him. It's a journey back to being a well-disciplined Vulcan. Maybe that's what leads to him and what's her name? T'Pring,
yeah.
Yeah.
Topanga. No, that's somebody different.
Topanga. Yeah, there you go. What are you, Corey?
Topanga. Oh my gosh.
So from a writer's point of view, I think it's good because they can show us a different Spock, not the Spock that we've seen over and over and over and over and over again. Let's see a different Spock. Let's see an emotional Spock and show the journey to where we know he ends up.
Yeah. I think in season two, it's going to be far more emotional. He's going to wear black eyeliner, have some hair covering one of his eyes. You know, he'll be shopping at the Hot Topic.
Spiked collars.
Yeah, a little spiked collar. He'll be saying things like, "It's not a phase."
What is Chapel? Yeah. Is Chapel holding the leash? That's what I want to know.
That's a very
for sure.
I really like what they've done with that relationship, because it's a relationship that may go somewhere and break her heart, and then again, it may be just what it is right now and still break her heart.
I think they're kind of rewriting canon, but they're rewriting the off-screen canon.
Yeah.
You watched TOS last year. It was like, oh, wow, you know, Nurse Chapel had the hots for Spock, and he never reciprocated.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're turning it into Nurse Chapel has the hots for Spock, and he doesn't reciprocate anymore.
Yep.
And that's what upsets her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
I am okay with that.
Yeah.
It's a good story for that, you know, showing how we get there. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
kind of like with the Gorn. I'm okay with what they've done there too. It is a little bit of a change, and that's fine. Everything needs updates. It's 55 some odd years old, man. So
yep. And by who would like to have breakfast with Captain Pike? I'm just dying to.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. For sure.
Oh man. You know, I've said it before. There's, you know, when it comes to shows, movies, whatever, the characters that they play are the people that I want to meet and not the actors themselves. And that is completely different with Pike, because I really feel like Anson Mount is Pike and Pike is Anson Mount. Like I can't really see much of a distinction between their characters with the way he's cooking and everything. So
what I'd like to find out, because he seems to be very informal with his crew, which normally I don't like that. But I'm interested to find out if he has always been like this, or is this a side effect from the experience that he had on Discovery, where he knows I only have 10 years left and I don't have a wife and I don't have kids.
Yeah.
These people are essentially the people I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. So I might as well
enjoy it.
Yeah, embrace them as family.
Una has made comments before that this is kind of how he's always operated. But I could see that if it's even more so now after that,
right?
After that trauma. But there have been hints and times when Una has made comments that he's done this. He's done this a lot, and I'm fine with it because he skirts that line of being informal versus being too informal. Pretty well. I mean, they've skirted the line pretty well with that, with the way they've written these scenes when he's cooking. And then I love how he gives the apron to Spock and says, "Here, you do the dishes." And Spock is like, okay. Like, what? I just want to know where all this gorgeous food's coming from. They don't have replicators. He's cooking all of it, all this fresh stock. Like, how big is that hydroponics bay, man? And Pike gets 2/3 of it. I mean,
you know what? Mbenga's hiding it for him in the transporter buffer.
Here's the question: of all the captains we know, right? Sisko, Pike, Lorca, Janeway, all of them, Archer, Kirk, who would you want to have breakfast with?
Oh, man. I'd want to have a late evening dinner meal with Sisko, because there'd be alcohol involved and there'd be some really spicy food. Yeah, I'd want to have a breakfast with Pike, because this is the third time we've seen him making breakfast, so he's clearly fantastic at it. And I would like to have afternoon tea with Picard. That's my roundout right there.
Yeah. Chad to have breakfast with Pike, because that means he got to spend the night.
Yeah, he did. You got some morning Pike.
I set myself up for that. Yeah. I do like that line, Gentry. Have you tried the pancakes? And Noonien Singh is kind of like, I'm not doing this right now. I'm angry. Like, I'm not doing this. Then she takes one bite and goes, "Oh my God, give me more." Where's the other stuff? The syrup? Yeah, the syrup. That. Give me more. That was good. So many little nuggets from this episode. This is a great episode. Mm-hmm. This is a great episode. So, and then of course by the end of it, we see Ortega is now leaving the crew because she's taking the kid.
No, Leon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Leon
is still there.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Leon. Sorry. The other one in the red shirt.
Right. The other one.
All the red shirts died. Some of the red shirts died anyway. And Sam Kirk lived. We kind of speculated that he was dead by the end of this season. And so far, he's kind of like Guy from Galaxy Quest. Yeah.
So here's my theory about him, right? And Kirk?
Yeah.
Do you remember the little show called Family Matters and how Steve Urkel became Stefan by going into the machine?
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. There's going to be a transporter accident, and Sam Kirk is going to turn into Captain Kirk and just be a smooth operator.
Well, is he supposed to show up in the next episode? Kirk?
We don't know. We really don't know. Yeah. They hinted at him before the season started. So it would be weird if he doesn't at the very least show up once.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I think it would be like a walk-on cameo.
Yeah.
We know they're going to be back on Earth because they're supposed to drop off O'Hara. So, you know, I think it might be something as simple as, you know,
irritation.
Captain Pike, have you met my brother?
Yeah.
Have you met my brother, Jim?
Right.
Ensign Kirk, nice to meet you. And that, yeah. And that, I think that's what it's going to be. I don't think it's
going to be. Yeah. It'll be something small like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm
fine. There was a trailer out for the next episode. I posted that in the group. So people can look at that in the feedback section of the Discord as well. They also had a different clip on the Will Wheaton show, and that clip was interesting. It showed Pike like in some sort of negotiations, and all of a sudden a kid runs in and ends up the kid is one of the cadets that he saves or tries to save when an accident happens. And as he walks out, he realizes that kid dies in 10 years.
Ooh.
And it really rattles him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of dying.
Uh-huh.
We lost Hammer.
We did.
He's always in our hearts.
How do you guys feel like that? How do you guys feel about that?
I found that very interesting that they took a main lead guy. Yeah, I guess he wasn't a main lead, no. But I mean, he's still a main guy that people really resonated with. I think everybody liked Hammer's character. He wasn't one of those characters who was annoying and you're happy to see go, for sure. But I found that very interesting that they killed him off in the first season, even before the finale. I thought he would be around longer. Very interesting character.
I mean, he clearly makes the way open for Scotty, right?
Yep.
I suppose so. I don't know. Is it too soon to bring in Scotty, though? I mean, is it too soon to start bringing in even more of the original cast, you know, younger? So,
you know what? They're only doing 10 episode seasons. So,
yeah,
they're going to do these things. They have to, you know, they have to do them quick.
I mean, it would be kind of funny if each season there was a new, you know, chief engineer, and then you could judge the seasons that way. Like, oh, I like the Hammer season. Oh, I like the, you know, just pick a different character name.
Yeah. I mean, they could have Scotty on the show without assigning him to the Enterprise.
Right. He could be an intern or
he could
learning.
They're back on Earth. And they just towed home a ship that's all busted up. So, you know, somebody's got to supervise the refit of that ship. So they could have him in the episode without actually assigning him to the Enterprise. You know, bring somebody else in as chief engineer, or, you know, not have a chief engineer, or it's Ensign Nobody is the acting chief engineer, or whatever. I don't know. There's a million things they could do. Mm-hmm. There's a million things that, you know, we lost our security chief in this episode.
Yeah.
TOS, they didn't even have a security chief.
Right.
So, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think at any point we're going to see, the drones that the Enterprise had that we saw in Discovery, all those drone fighters, like, if we get in a hot spot?
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope that just went away.
Yeah, that wasn't really... You talking about the astromechs that were
fixing? The kind of things like that.
No.
Yeah.
Remember,
the,
like, I think it was season two.
The bees?
There was, like, a big fight. Yeah, the bee fighters.
They called them the bees, yep, or whatever, the little bees, the worker bees, something. They called them something like that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, should we open to feedback?
Yeah, I was just typing. I guess some people were typing in the actual chat in the live show as part of this stream, but then I can't see it anywhere because I'm over in the on-air chat. That's why there's a different channel for that, and I just caught that, so apologies for some of the guys that were typing over there. And I was wondering why the on-air chat channel was quiet, but at any rate, maybe at some point we change this to where we can show that along with the stream on the YouTube side at the same time as well, but right now it's not set up that way, so we'll figure it out. So for now, just use the on-air chat, guys. So, yeah, we entertain ourselves. Yeah, I saw that, Gentry. All right, so I guess that's another thing too. So last week, okay, let's go to feedback. I'll play the clip and then we'll go.
Hailing frequency. Yeah. Open.
So last week I unmuted somebody who didn't think they were going to be unmuted. He's not here today on purpose, probably. They took that clip and they played it over on the other podcast that I do, which was hysterical. So that made me think, though, maybe not everybody that's in the live show listening necessarily wants to be unmuted. So, because I just go through and unceremoniously unmute you and then make you speak.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk and you want me to unmute you, then just put an X in the on-air chat and I will unmute you and you can talk. Otherwise, I won't. And we'll go to that way you don't, you know, feel the pressure. But I know a lot of people that are in that on-air chat right now, they all like to say something. So, all right. So species 5618, you are first.
A lot of people, but, and they all.
They all, yeah.
That's what he just, a lot Whatever. Of people, and they all.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it make any sense? I don't know. It's my English here in the Midwest. Okay. So that's species 5618, you're unmuted. That's, of course, Taryn, I believe. So you're first for the feedback. Give us your feedback, man.
That's me. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hola. It's
been a while.
It has, yeah.
No, I think feedback, I was really surprised with Hammer.
Yeah.
It's like they pulled a Game of Thrones where, you know, you had a main character, next thing you know, they're gone. I'm like, wait, no, he's not really gone. He's going to, oh, shit, he's gone. He jumped off the cliff.
Yeah. So,
back of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was actually surprising. I think everything else in the episode was kind of predictable. I mean, you know, it was Alien versus Predator, I think, at one point. But to see that, I was a little surprised, and I think I still am, because he was the coolest engineer. I mean, who would love an engineer whose name is Hammer? It sounds like Hammer. I mean, isn't that the best tool for anyone to engineer, just hammering things around in the engineering deck? But
his purpose was to fix what was broken, yes.
Yeah, and then that new preview, it's obviously the Romulans. I don't know if anyone tried pausing it. You can see a Romulan warbird in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And you know we're not going to see them, or I hope we don't see them, because in canon, technically, we don't even see them till TOS.
Mm-hmm.
It was Balance of Terror where we never, at least the crew never got to see them. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to film this. But yeah, I think that was some interesting things. And the only other comment I had was on Orville. I don't know if anyone's still watching that.
Yep.
Go for it.
Is it me, or I know the episodes are longer because they have more budget, but is anyone else just waiting for the episode to be over? It just feels like everything is so slow.
10 to 20 minutes too long.
Yeah,
like the pacing is so slow. There's gaps where it feels like, oh, they could have put a joke there and I would have been enjoying it more.
The effect of the show being on broadcast television, being strictly streaming.
Yeah.
That's something that you watch some streaming shows and you look at the episode times, and you know, episode 1, 44 minutes. Episode 2, 52 minutes. Episode 3, 110 minutes.
Yep. I think it's gotten a little better since the first episode, but I think it's showing some range of some of the actors a little bit better. But and then some of the topics that they're discussing, I mean, they're discussing it within the context of the character, as opposed to, you know, the Disco model, which is great. Mm-hmm. It's great storytelling, but yeah, they're a little too slow, and I don't know. It just seems like there's something missing, and
comedy.
I kind of miss the. Yeah, I missed the second season. It feels like, I kind of wonder too, is some of those scripts might have been written, and it feels like they actually took out some of the comedy parts, where you could almost see the setup there. And then the punchline just, they cut that line out. So it's
thing I did like, payoff, we got confirmation that Clyden is every bit the piece of shit that we thought he was.
Yeah. Yes. Sayonara, Clyden.
You know, when Clyden, you know, spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't seen it, you know, when Clyden looks at Topa and says, "I wish you were never born."
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
As a father, I can't imagine saying that to my own child.
Yeah.
Whatever issue that child has, I can't imagine ever saying that. So, Clyden, yeah. Fuck you. I hope you burn in hell. Yeah.
It's funny when you think about the actor that plays Clyden is Fred Johnson from The Expanse. And I can't unsee that sometimes. So I'm just thinking of Fred Johnson in this Expanse setup.
Oh, as yeah. Clyden.
It's yeah. kind of hilarious. Oh, actually, speaking of that, my last comment, I posted it up there. I was wondering why those two kids looked so familiar, which Oriana from the Scorn episode and then the First Servant. They were the brother and sister from The Expanse, where she tried to bring him back to life with the proto molecule or something.
Okay.
So
okay.
I was looking at like, oh, no wonder they look so familiar.
Huh, I'll be darned. I'll be darned.
I still haven't watched The Expanse.
Oh, you got to watch that.
You got to watch it.
That's a great show. Yeah. Holy shit, that's
it's
a great
right
show.
On my list right next to Stargate.
You know what? I got to say, watch it before Stargate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would even say that as a huge Stargate fan. I would say watch that first, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Strongbeard should give us his next Packlet review on.
Oh, that's
right. The Expanse?
or Stargate. Yeah, either one. He just asked, give me your suggestion for the next Packlet review.
Yeah, I'll call that number. I forgot what it is. I got to go to back.
I would love his Packlet review on Top Gun.
Yes.
Isn't this the same one as Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's the same as Star Wars A New Hope, yeah. And that number to call, Taryn, just so you have it, is 816-287-0448.
All right. Who's next?
Got it. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. We're going to mute you. And X up for next. I think Chaz was the next one to X up, so we're going to go down and do that with Chaz.
He's going to give it to you?
Anybody else? Yeah, X going to give it to you.
My keyboard broke, so I had to restart the system.
Ah.
Did you run?
Okay.
Was the keyboard like, and you recognize the sound?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm surprised I haven't put that sound on one of these phones, because a lot of them are Trek geeks, so.
Yeah.
That's something they would do.
All right, so.
This episode was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that puppet's going to show up in another form again, because they paid too much money for it.
Oh, I guarantee it came from Halo. They didn't pay anything for it. I guarantee you it came from Halo. The weapon staff and everything. Oh, yeah, I guarantee you. They didn't have to pay anything for that. It was already done over on Halo. It's all Paramount Plus, so why not?
Yeah, because they spent a lot of money on that thing.
They did.
Just to throw it away.
Yeah.
I bet the mechanics are pretty universal, and it's just swapping the skin, literally. Like just
true.
Changing the face or whatever.
But it was so cool. I really liked it. I was like, man, that's the first time I've seen an alien like that on Star Trek.
Yeah.
That actually looked really good, too, for just a TV show. That was like movie quality. So
it reminded me of the Pig Lizard from Galaxy Quest.
Okay. Yeah, poor thing got trapped in the transporter or whatever.
Inside out.
Yeah.
Digital conveyor.
Digital conveyor. That's right. Digital conveyor. Holy.
Warning. Nerd alert.
Yeah. Wow. That was obscure.
Oh, man.
That was coming.
Dan's with all the terminology today.
He knows it all, man.
He's working out. He's got the guns on. He's got the tank top on.
His shorts is strong.
I feel like one of the assholes on this ship right now. So. Especially
what do you think is going to happen in the season finale?
Oh man, I didn't watch the preview or anything because I don't like okay. spoilers on that. So
yeah.
I think Kirk shows up.
Okay.
But I have no idea like how they're going to end it. I hate to say this, almost should have been the season finale.
I mean, it felt like it could have been.
Well, could have been.
Because he died, and then you got Luan leaving, and I mean, it was such a big episode that you're like, holy crap, they spent a lot of money on this thing, and this is almost seems like a season finale.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the episode of Deep Space Nine. What was it? Ascension? Where Odo fights the changeling.
Oh, yeah.
The trap on the ship. It's almost like the thing where the changeling keeps on changing to different people.
Right.
And he's killing people on the ship. If you remember that, it was a season finale.
Yeah.
That's where Odo gets in trouble. Because his first time, like, he killed a changeling.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. It makes more sense now why they let Leon put her dog in the show last episode.
Because she's leaving?
She's leaving.
She'll come back.
She'll come back at some
point. That's not a permanent leave. That's some sort of setup for something else.
Yeah. You don't give her a last name like Khan. You don't give her a last name like Noonien Singh and then don't pay it off with anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you could, but that's terrible writing.
They kind of did already with her fight scene with Una and then both, you know, being able to show their full strength. You know, that was the Marvel superhero episode.
I like her character a lot, too, this season. So I kind of want her back, you know?
Well, yeah, I want him or back, but I didn't have it. So.
Yeah, I want him or back. but I'm glad.
It's summertime.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, I hope he doesn't come back, like, on the lower decks when the chief engineer came back, or the security officer came back.
They just never talk.
Yeah.
That's never funny, though.
I mean, that was funny on there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like to have, like, death permanent, because kind of like when Culber died on season one of Discovery, and then they go back and they retcon bring him back, and you're like, come on, you know, it's like death has the meaning, you know, like people die, that's what happens.
Yep. And then people feel the effects of those deaths as they go on, so
yeah, exactly.
Or that loss.
And then, like,
yeah,
you can't have like divine intervention come in and like, whoop, they're back, you know. And
well, on Discovery, that wasn't divine intervention, that was mushrooms.
Pike takes the ship halfway through this weird. I don't know what the hell happened on that episode.
Yeah.
I don't think their writers know what happened on that episode.
No, they didn't.
They were doing the spaghetti test on whether or not it was done or not.
The engineer is going to be like on Harry Potter, the defense against the dark arts type person. Like each season's going to be a new engineer.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they're going to do.
Or their evil engineer, or they're, you know, they're somebody else posing as another person. Then in the end, Snake gets the job and it's Scotty. So
that would be interesting if every season there's a different chief engineer and we're just waiting for when they're going to kill him.
Yes. Right. Like they have that one character, like, ooh, what's going to happen this season? So
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be interesting. We'll see how that goes. Thanks for coming on the air. We appreciate it. If anybody else wants to come on the air and give us your feedback and your thoughts, put an X in the on-air chat real quick, and we'll unmute you and go. Gentry and Lumberjack Daryl are the only other two in the live show, so one of them. I'm hoping both of them. Let's go. I'll unmute your mic. I'm waiting. Gentry's typing something. I just got back from, Cueva? Oh, are you lit this morning? Is that what you're saying? I don't know what that means.
he made an image.
No reporting. Okay, I won't image you. The tribble.
Yeah. I think he's having issues with his internet connection anyways.
Dude, what I sent you. Oh, well, yeah. I got to play that. We're getting into that part of it. I know.
Yeah.
We do have some voicemails. So I got to go pull those up. Let's see where they go. Got one right here. first time. Yeah, no, it takes a second, I know.
Exactly.
It's like the very first time. Well, you gotta switch from one thing to another. So here we go. We'll play the first one. We'll see.
Warning. The following contains adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Obi-Wan Kenobi, the complete series, a pack-led review. Ben lonely. Ben
Did
sad.
I play this already?
Ben is a little bitch. Ben scared.
Yeah.
Ben mad.
You played this last week.
I did. I'll play it again.
Ben kick ass. This has been a pack-led review of Obi-Wan Kenobi, the complete series. To request a pack-led review for a particular series or episode, send an email to ifscottcanyoucan@gmail.com.
Okay. So the problem with these voicemail, I love these, by the way, is that I don't delete them because I don't want to delete them, so then I can't tell which ones are new. All right, here's the next one.
Oh. I'm reporting today from the Klingon colony in the southern hemisphere of Kavok, deep within the Beta Quadrant. This once thriving colony enjoyed regular everyday life like most Klingons, drinking blood wine with other warriors, a yearly Kutbokfall festival, and of course, eating the heart of a sanctified targ on the Day of Honor. But today, no one is serving roke egg blood pie. No one is charging up their pain sticks. Instead, this colony is recovering and simply glad to be alive. These fierce warriors nearly lost everything they had to their most lethal enemy yet. Who brought these champions of combat to their knees? Not the Romulans, not the Borg, not even the Federation. These Klingons were nearly conquered by Tribbles. Somehow making their way into Klingon space, possibly by a scientist looking for a new food source given their meaty frame, these tiny, toothless, cooing balls of fur arrived on this planet and began to consume. Through asexual reproduction, the furry non-fornicators can bear an average litter of 10 tribbles every 12 hours. In a 3-day period, one pregnant tribble can account for 1,771,561 offspring. The Klingons never stood a chance. Entire crop yields were eliminated, all grain and stock reserves were decimated, every leaf, blade of grass, and consumable was gone. Only after help arrived from Konos was a reprieve possible. The warriors landed on the southern continent and began their hunt, but for the citizens of Kavok, it was too late. Refugee centers have been set up in the northern hemisphere of the planet to assist the survivors, and aid is expected from neighboring systems such as the Federation and Vulcans. The Ferengi Grand Nagus has offered to sell wide disbursement pattern rifles to the Klingons at a reduced cost. An empty food bowl doesn't provide an honorable death, and these Klingons now hope that better days of battle are ahead for them all. Reporting for the Intergalactic Planetary News Network, this has been Gentry. Back to you in the studio.
That was amazing. The amount of work and effort he put into that is great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's the actual math, he says in the on-air chat. That was fantastic, man. That was great.
I don't know, man. That sounds like some Scott Steiner math.
You know, I gotta say, I'm really enjoying the listener-generated content. the pack-led review, the Federation News Network with Gentry.
It's great. We got more. I'm not done. We got more.
Okay. All right.
Here we go. Here's another one. Feels like the first. Come on.
The following is brought to you by If Scott Can, You Can, a veteran-owned, amateur-run YouTube channel. Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Take Me Out to the Hollow Suite, a pack-led review. Niners won baseball game they lost. This has been Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Take Me Out to the Hollow Suite, a pack-led review. Stay tuned next week for a pack-led review of Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 1 Finale.
Awesome.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic.
Cujo had a baby.
And Cujo had a baby. Yeah, we just saw a picture of it in the on-air chat. That is wonderful, man. Congrats.
Congratulations.
Good for you. I like how he added it's the newest member for TrekCast as well as the Chad is Right fan club. I love it. It's awesome, man. Congratulations. Man, having a kid is that's life-changing. It really is. It's life-changing. Yeah. So, miss you too, man. Thanks for coming on and saying something.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful experience to have kids, even when they drive you crazy some days. So that is what we got on the voicemail, the feedback for the voicemail. Dan, why don't you give everybody the number to call?
Sure. every time is like my first time. 287-0448-1816-287-0448. Operators are not standing by. No one is sitting by the phone waiting for your call. No one will answer.
That nobody.
Don't call. Doesn't mean don't call. It means no one will answer. It's just a box. Leave us a voicemail. We will probably play it on the show. So again, 1-816-287-0448. 816-287-0448.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. You did a great job of that. That's why I just put you on the spot. The guys in the chat were like, wow, way to put Dan right on the spot. That's because he knows what he's doing. He's got it. He's a professional. We've only been doing this for 4 years now? 4 years?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right. Yeah.
160, 170 plus episodes. I mean, we're getting close to 200 episodes together. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
It is. Before we get to any other emails or feedback that you have on your side, Daniel, I did not get the emails over to the Chad is Wrong email address, but we do have an email from Chartable, which every once in a while I like to update us on our numbers. So guess which country we are currently in the top 200 of, and there's three.
Oof.
So there's three countries that our last few episodes are in the top 200 of all listened to podcasts.
Really?
Yes. It's amazing.
I'm going to guess Lithuania. I feel like we're strong in Bulgaria. And I'm going to throw a wild card, Monaco.
Ah, okay, okay.
I'm going to take Germany.
Okay.
Micronesia. And Australia.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh, very close. But no, Germany.
Kangaroo Jack me there.
Yeah, Germany is one of them. So
okay.
Germany is one of the three.
There you go.
The second one, at least in the, it's not really ranked as far as more or less or whatever. It's just there's three. So first one's Germany. Okay. Second one is Brazil.
Ah.
Uh-huh. And the third one is Norway.
Oh, okay.
So very interesting. Very, very interesting. So
it's a yes way in Norway?
A yes way in Norway. Yeah. Yeah, Gentry got that right. He put up Germany first before Daniel or you guys even answered. So
again, yeah. They're confusing us with that other Trek.
They are. Yeah, the trekcast.de where they only speak German. Yeah.
So if any Norwegian chicks want any pictures of the guns, you know, just go ahead and email me and we'll set something up.
You're already offering the Men of Trekcast calendar, the private edition.
Yeah,
or German chicks. Basically, any chicks want pictures of my guns, just email me. We'll set that up.
Wow. Your wife does listen to this show, doesn't she?
Only Dan's.
An Only Dan's.
There you go.
Only Dan's. And you have to have the opening, you have to have the profile pic be Dan from Orville on the elevator playing that music.
Yeah. Hi.
I just love the elevator music.
We haven't seen Dan yet this season. What's up with that?
I think he was in one background, and that's it.
I don't know. I saw that, too. I wasn't sure if that was him or if that was just someone else from his species.
No, you know what? I think the first episode, he did say one line, but it wasn't funny. It was just like, we're doing that, Commander, and that was it. Like,
I don't get what they're doing this season with the Orville. I can't take it.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be the last episode, last season.
It feels like Seth MacFarlane phoned it in.
Yeah.
No, I think he's high on his own supply, dude.
I don't know. Well, this comment he made recently about it doesn't need comedy in order to move it along. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what made it great, man. What the hell? You're Seth MacFarlane. We expect comedy out of you. Not Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, he's trying to change things, and people aren't ready for that with this show because
nope.
We were advertised something else when it first came out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other feedback from your side, Daniel? There's nothing on the coffee account.
No, nothing. Just a lot of I posted a picture of Gold Ducat daydreaming, and people filled it. There was a lot of Kira's booty, if you will. A lot of people thinking that he's dreaming of self-stealing some bolts, and a couple of was also how great Gold Ducat is. That's what he's daydreaming about. So
gum just sticks. He's also yeah.
Well, I got it. I got that answer. I got that answer right in terms of being the most wrong. That he's daydreaming of Quark's head on Kira's body. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, that scene was just hysterical. Anyway.
Well, is that it? Because
I think that's it, man. That's the show.
All right, guys. Good to see
you. All right.
See you in a week for the series or season finale of Strange New. Can't wait to see what they have in store for us.
Hell of a first season. Yep.
And, see you next week.
Yep. Live long and prosper. We will see you guys next week.
Well, there you have it. Another episode in the can. Check us out at TrekCast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews, subscribe to us, we'll get some numbers, get up the list, get more listeners, do more shows, have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.
Hammer. Hammer, please.
Do not weep for me. I've had a good life. It's time for me to go.
Program complete.